good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a game.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host today, Wendy Pilot, also known as Hanajihihani. Robert is working on important Ho-Chunk Nation matters, but he'll be back tomorrow. And as everybody knows, on Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake, we discuss national and Twin Cities Native American news and events. And as we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You can call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. for any of your COVID-19 questions. We have an exciting show today. We have Michela Bowman. She's from the Sistan Wahpeton Dakota Cultural Programs Coordinator and Communications Specialist for the Lower Failing Creek Project. And her and Ogama will be talking a little bit later. And we also have Robert Lilligren on. Robert is the Executive Director of the Native American Community Development Institute, also known as NACDI. But first we'll go to Ogama. But I wanted to let everybody know that our prairie pollinator garden in our front yard is finally completed. It looks just fantastic. And I just want to give a shout out to Kaylee Moody. She really had she has the expertise and the vision, and she made our front lawn just really, it's spectacular. We have a ton of native Minnesota plants, and we have four rain gardens, pea gravel paths, and a stumpery. I didn't even know that's a thing, but we have a stumpery. It's a bunch of stumps, and it rots, and it has lots of nutrients in it, and it really helps all the plants. So we have a
stumpery. Tickets go on sale Saturday. $20 a ticket to see the whole thing, right?
Exactly. Just come on down. We'll all the proceeds will go to a good cause. So we're going to go to Ogama now, but I heard Ogama is in a tornado warning right now. So hopefully you will be safe, and let's hear from Ogama.
Hi, Anim Bushu, everybody. I'm Ogama Ganuakwe. Yes, I am in a tornado warning until about 6:30 p.m. Central Time here where I'm at in central Minnesota. So I got the alert on my phone and pretty much looked at it and said, I will do no such thing in regards to taking shelter at this time because I'm a Minnesotan and we don't do that till the last minute. So if I suddenly get disconnected, there's a good chance that I lost power, and I will update all of you on whether or not I'm all right. The first thing that I wanted to touch base on actually is about Kaylee Moody. So Kaylee is helping to get the IEN, or Indigenous Environmental Network, Community Garden up north in Bemidji, Minnesota, going, and they're looking for volunteers. So their volunteer hours are every Sunday from 1 to 5 p.m. The garden is located behind the Rail River Folk School building in Bemidji, Minnesota. This month's projects are going to be winter garden preparations, building soil with compost, building new garden beds, and learning how to make Hegel Qatar Mountains. I'm sorry if I butchered that, and fall garden crops and more. You can contact Kaylee at 541-583-2390 if you have any questions. And I don't know if she's doing any other bee gardens, but Kaylee is an awesome person and is doing a lot of really good work for the communities here in Minnesota. And I just wanted to give her a shout out with that today, as well as the Indigenous Environmental Network. They do amazing work. The next thing I wanted to touch on today is some Stopline 3 news, which we usually start with. So this is just in from the Minnesota DNR on line 3. The Minnesota Department of Natural Resources has actually ordered Enbridge to pay $3.32 million for failure to follow environmental laws. The Enbridge breached the confining layer of an artesian aquifer, resulting in unauthorized groundwater appropriation during the construction of the Line 3 replacement project near the Clearbrook Terminal in northern Minnesota. DNR's civil enforcement requires Enbridge to pay mitigation and penalty funds of $3.32 million, which includes restoration or a restoration order requiring $300,000 in initial mitigation funds to pay for the loss of groundwater resources, $250,000 for DNR monitoring of calcareous fen wetlands near the area of the aquifer breach, and a $20,000 administrative penalty order, which is the maximum allowed under the state law. The DNR has also ordered Enbridge to place $2,750,000 in escrow for restoration and mitigation of any damage of the calcareous fen wetlands. So the DNR will determine what restoration and mitigation is required. So this is happening right now. The Minnesota DNR has finally made a step against Enbridge for their violation of the water permit. But in the same breath, the Minnesota DNR has also taken the Rights of Manuman case to federal court. So the suit, which names Manuman or Wild Rice, was filed by the White Earth Band of Ojibwe last month in White Earth Tribal Court in northwestern Minnesota, asking the DNR to rescind water permits it made earlier this year for Enbridge's Line 3 pipeline project across northern Minnesota because it affects their Manuman or their Wild Rice. So on September 3rd, U.S. District Judge Wilhelmina Wright in St. Paul ruled against the DNR, saying that White Earth is a tribal court and individually named tribal members are protected from the state suit by sovereign immunity. So now the DNR asked on Monday of this week that the St. Louis-based 8th Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals to overturn Wright's decision, citing that no federal case has ever held that the trial courts have jurisdiction over states' officials engaged in the administration of state regulatory programs, let alone for projects located off the reservation. So this really brings the Rights of Manuman, the Rights of Nature case, to the forefront and could make a huge difference for what's going to happen all over Indian country as far as treaty rights. It's really exciting, as well as the horse ride that Honor the Earth is just kicking off. They should have kicked off, I believe, today with a feast and ceremony from Palisade. They're taking a horse ride along the expected route of Line 3 and is going to conclude on the 26th on the Red River on the North Dakota-Minnesota border. So right now we have treaty walkers going east to Superior, and we have treaty horse riders going northwest to the North Dakota border right now, praying for the Minnesota water on spiritual quest. So that's amazing, and I want to encourage all of you who can participate in either of those to go to Honor the Earth, GNU Collective, Rise Coalition, stopline3.org/hub. Find out how you can donate, get involved, be supportive in any way, shape, or form. And I want to remind everybody also coming up in October, October 11th through 15th is the People versus Fossil Fuels rally in D.C. So if you have not yet, start getting looking for traveling, accommodations, etc. You can find out more information on People vs. versus fossilfuels.org. All the information is on there. It's going to be exciting. And it looks like, am I still on air? Did I make it through my whole segment without
losing
power?
You're good. Yeah.
You absolutely did.
We do have live footage of your outside, though. This is live footage from outside.
Lewis put up the video right from Twister where the cow goes by the car. Oh, that poor cow.
Oh, no.
What were you going to ask
computer
me?
Computer animated,
Wendy?
If you could give Kaylee's, Moody's phone number again for the volunteer work for the community garden.
Sure, I can, but it'll take me just a second
to
pull
it
up again.
That's no problem. Music when you have a minute.
It is on the Indigenous Environmental Network Facebook site, and I'm sure there are other social media. So you can check out ienearth.org or go to Indigenous Environmental Network on social media, and I'm sure they have it posted there.
Yeah, and as I want to say, I did help Kaylee, like, doing some hauling of the mulch and a little bit of digging, and I really got dirty and got into the garden because I wanted to be a part of my garden that's out there, so I wanted to help her, and I have to say that you know, I'm not used to, like, getting dirty, like being really dirty, like, you know, dirt under your fingernails type of dirty. And it felt really good. I have to say it was invigorating, and I really loved it. But we're going to be back with Michaela Bauman talking with Ogama right after this short break. Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host today, Wendy Pilot. Robert will be back tomorrow. And right now we have Michaela Bauman, who is the Cultural Programs Coordinator and Communication Specialist for Lower Failing Creek Project. And her and Ogama will have a conversation right now. So take it over, Ogama.
Hey, Anim Buju. I wish I could greet you in your original language. I'm not very good at that one, but I greet you with a warm heart and a handshake. Is that how you say it, Michaela? I'd like you to go ahead and introduce yourself how you prefer, and then we'll talk a little bit about Lower Failing Creek Project.
I said, hello, my relatives. My name is Michaela. I am Dakota from the Sisituan Kawakpetuan Oyate out in South Dakota. And I work for Lower Failing Creek Project as our communications and events coordinator.
So Lower Failing Creek Project is located out of St. Paul, Minnesota. Can you talk a little bit about what Lower Failing Creek Project does and why it's so important to the community?
Yeah, Lower Failing Creek Project is a East Side Native-led environmental organization, and we primarily work out of a Dakota sacred site called Wakantipi, but it's also known as Bruce Bento Nature Sanctuary. And we do a lot of work protecting our Dakota sacred sites and raising awareness about, you know, these are our homelands here in the Twin Cities and in Minnesota Makoche. And we do everything from restoration events at the nature sanctuary we work at, protecting the waterways, the lands, to even some arts events and storytelling. And really, we do so much, and it's such a privilege to work here. It really is a beautiful sight from everything that I've seen so far. What we've been working on over the last couple of weeks here is that Laura Phelan Creek is celebrating a 10-year anniversary, and they're having a fundraiser tonight at 7 p.m. Virtually live on Facebook and your YouTube. Do you want to talk a little bit about that and how people can support?
Yeah, of course. So tonight, like Ogama said, from 7 to 8:30 p.m., we're going to be celebrating our 10-year anniversary as a nonprofit organization here on the East Side. But even more especially, it's our first year as a uniquely Native-led organization. And so tonight, we're going to be talking a lot about that transition. Historically, our organization was started by some community activists on the East Side that really wanted to see Wakan Tipi, or the Dakota sacred site that we steward and that we take care of, taken care of again, because throughout history and after colonization, that land really became destroyed by the railroads and then became an unofficial city dumping ground. And so part of our work started from just community activists that weren't necessarily Native. But then when they figured out that story of that place being Wakan Tipi, or the dwelling place of the sacred, they decided to make that shift to become Native-led. And so tonight we're just celebrating that legacy of 10 years of cleaning up a sacred site and now becoming Native-led. So we're really super excited.
Right, and Little Bird told me on your website that it looks like you have a generous donor who's going to match donations up to $25,000 through the end of the day today. Is that right?
Yes. So we have raised $14,000 so far, and our goal is to raise $35,000 by the end of the night. So that means that any donations given to us today will be matched up to $25,000, meaning any donation you give your impact will be doubled. It will be matched. And so that is also a really exciting reason to head on over to our fundraiser tonight. It's going to be streaming live on Facebook and YouTube. And we're going to have a fireside chat with our executive director, Maggie Lorenz, who is Pabaksa Dakota, and previous leadership of Lower Phelan Creek Project, to talk about why it was so important to become Native-led. And also, we're going to have a panel, a land back panel, with Dr. Kate Bean and President Robert Larson from Chanshayapi, our Lower Sioux, talk about the importance of returning land to the stewardship of Indigenous people. And so there's a lot of exciting things that are going to be happening tonight.
Yes, it's going to be wonderful. I'm really excited. And I just want to let everybody know that is going to be streaming on Native Roots Radio's Facebook and YouTube as well. But more importantly, it's going to be on Lower Phelan Creek's Facebook. So that's Lower and then Phelan with a PH, Creek. And their website, where you can get your donation matched through the end of the day today, is lowerphelancreek.org/fall-fundraiser-1. So that is where you can go for a match donation. And then I believe, is there a match donation link on the website too at this time, Michela?
Yep, there are, we actually have two giving programs. Well, actually three. So you can head to our website and give a one-time donation today, but you can also become a Teoshpaya member. And Teoshpaya is our word for family. And this is a program where we are asking folks to just pledge a $1,000 total donation, but you can give at any cost that feels comfortable to you monthly, from if you want to do every month for a year or every month to 4 years, however comfortable that feels for you to give $1,000. And so, again, any gift that's given today, any donation that's given today will be matched and doubled up to $25,000. So it's a really special way to make sure that your impact is doubled. I know that was repetitive, but we're super excited. Well, and it is. It's really important. And I know that Maggie Lorenz has talked about this, is that, you know, it seems like a lot of money when only a few people are expected to, you know, carry a program like this. But when everybody gets together and donates what they can, even if it's a very small amount, donating as a community goes so much further. So I would like you all who are listening to really consider making a donation again at www.lowerphalen.org/fall-fundraiser-1 to have your donation doubled and double your impact for this amazing organization and all the wonderful work they do, bringing back how to be a good steward of the land, even in the middle of a cityscape. It's just beautiful what they have done and brought back some traditional plants and gotten rid of some invasive species over there. I know there was a lot of invasive species that had started. And then you're also working with other communities that had used that space over the years as well, you know, in history. Do you know much about that, Michela, that part of it?
Yeah, so what makes Wakanti here, Bruce Fento Nature Sanctuary, such a special place is that, you know, first and foremost, it's a Dakota place. It's a Dakota sacred site. And the land here in Minnesota, Makoche, these are Dakota lands. So our people have not only cared for these lands and these waterways, but Konshimak, our Mother Earth, has cared for us back. But what I always like to bring to the forefront of our work is that the Earth, Mother Earth, she cares for all of us, not just Dakota people, not just Native people. She cares for our Hmong relatives. She cares for our Somali relatives, our white relatives, literally everyone. And it's our responsibility when we have relatives like these, our lands and the waters that care for us, that we care for them back. And it's not just us that's doing this work, you know. I think, you know, the last time and throughout the summer that I've been at Wakanti Bay, I always see Hmong folks and Latina folks harvesting foods and medicines in that place. And so these sacred sites, they care for all of us, and it's so important that we put not only our bodies in terms of restoration, restoring these places, but if we're able, our money and our finances, to make sure that the original stewards of this land can practice our life ways in these places again.
Absolutely. It's really, really beautiful what's happening there. And I'm really excited to tell people once again to tune in to the fundraiser tonight, starting at about 7 p.m. on Lower Phalen Creek Project social media on their Facebook and YouTube to find out more about the organization, find out how you can give tonight or how you can get involved to volunteer later if you're in the Twin Cities or other ways that you can get involved. That's going to be really exciting. Wendy, have you been able to go over to Lower Phalen Creek Project yet?
You know, I haven't. But Maggie has been on. Maggie Lorenz has been on the show a few times, and she kind of told us about what the land there used to be like. It was a dump, she said. Like, there were bathtubs and, you know, tires, and it took, you know, a lot of time and energy to really clean out that area to make it what it is today. But no, I will be going there, but I haven't yet. But I heard it's just beautiful.
Yeah. What's so special about that place too is that it's been about 15 years since it's been opened back up to the public. And most recently, as our people return to that area, as Dakota people return to that area, and as Native people return to that area, so are the animals and the plants and the medicines. For the first time in 50 years, we have an eagle's nest that's there. And this past summer, our first beaver came back. And every year I see new medicines growing in that place. And as long as we can keep doing this and we can keep going out there and caring for the land, we're not only healing ourselves while we heal the land, but we're healing our language and our culture. And that's why it's so important to participate in fundraisers like these.
Well, you know, wonderful. Me, I'd love to hear about the animals coming back and the restoration of that whole ecosystem there. That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Michela Bauman from the Lower Creek Phelan Project. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with
us. Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
These days, replacing your appliances can be a major headache. Manufacturing delays, looming product shortages, and higher prices. Feels like the cards are stacked against you. But at Warner Stellion, the only thing we stack are the savings. Our appliance specialists will help you choose from thousands of in-stock appliances ready for fast pickup or free delivery in Holloway. And through Monday, save up to $3,700 with stack savings you can't get elsewhere. Trust Minnesota's original appliance specialists, Warner Stellion.
Hi, I'm Claire Ferreira, president and owner of Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. My grandfather started Standard over 90 years ago, and we've been a family-owned company ever since, serving over 500,000 of our fellow Minnesotans. I'm proud to be the fourth generation of my family working in our business. And when we say we treat our employees and clients like family, we truly mean it. See how we can help your family stay comfortable all year long at standardheating.com. That's standardheating.com.
And right now, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is having their fall triple savings sale. You'll have three ways to save: manufacturer rebates, utility rebates, and September promotions. When it all adds up, that means you could save up to $2,775 when you install a new furnace and AC in September. Plus, ask about installing a water heater with your purchase to save even more. Book an appointment today at standardheating.com to take advantage of their fall triple savings sale, where you could save up to $2,775 when you install a new furnace and AC. Offer valid through September 30th. That's standardheating.com.
Hey, Minnesota, it's Brad Friedman, host of the Bradcast. We'll expose all the latest schemes, frauds, and more weeknights at 7 on AM 950.
We're in this together, and we will get through this together. The vaccines are tested effective and needed.
Welcome to the clinic. Which arm?
Get your COVID-19 vaccine so we can do this. And this. And this.
We are now boarding flight.
Together again, because we got through it together.
This message, sponsored by the Helmsley Charitable Trust, aired with the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, it's Tom for All Energy Solar. You may know that All Energy Solar can make your home energy efficient, but what about businesses, both big and small? All Energy Solar has been helping the business community with full-service clean energy solutions for over a decade. If you run a business, you know how important it is to keep expenses under control. And one expense you'll always have are utilities. So stop renting your energy from the utility company, because the rent keeps going up. Instead, cut those utility bills and switch to All Energy Solar so you can invest those savings in what your business does best. Hundreds of businesses have taken control of their energy expenses with All Energy Solar. And with significant federal and local incentives available, it's a better time than ever to cut your utility bill and become more energy efficient with All Energy Solar. Get a free no-obligation assessment from All Energy Solar's commercial solar specialists today by calling 800-620-3370 or visiting allenergysolar.com. That's allenergysolar.com.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Showers and thunderstorms expected in the overnight hours with a low of 60. Clouds and rain clear out. Sunny skies on Friday with a high of 71. If you have a big home improvement project, Snap Construction can help with roofing, siding, decks, windows, and so much more. Go with the pros AM 950 trusts. Call 612-333-SNAP or visit snapconstruction.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm Wendy Pilot, sitting in today for Robert, and Robert will be back tomorrow. This portion of the show is brought to you by the Montessori American Indian Child Care Center. They are hosting an event called the Payne Phelan Harvest Festival, and it takes place on Saturday, September 25th, from 1 to 4 p.m., Also, this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. I forgot to plug that in earlier. And today is Thursday, and we have Robert Lilligren with us. Robert is the executive director at the Native American Community Development Institute, also known as NACDI. And I just read this today. NACDI is in the heart of the densest concentration of Native urban dwellers in the country. And I didn't know that. So, Robert, hi, how are you? Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And, you know, every day we get people who are joining us and who are our first-time listeners. And for those people, I'd really like you to tell everybody what NACDI is, what it does, and tell them a little bit about you and what you do and who you are.
Yeah, thanks, Wendy. Bonjour.
Yeah.
Anandu Megana Duck, Bawa Babi Geneka Gendunja Ba, Ojawish Koganejin and Dodam, Ogema Mishkwadezi and Jakaz. So I'm Robert Lilligrand. It's great to be here with you, Wendy, with Ogema and Lewis as well. And so I'm Robert Lilligrand. I'm a citizen of the White Earth Ojibwe Nation. I'm a third generation urban Indian in Minneapolis. In fact, I just live a few blocks from where my grandmother lived out her life in the Loring Park neighborhood and where my dad grew up. And I didn't start here, but I somehow ended up here, kind of called to this place. And so I work for NACDI, the Native American Community Development Institute. It's an asset-based community development intermediary. And so what that means is it kind of focuses on the people side of community development and building capacity at every level, individual level, community level, supporting entrepreneurs. We have a few signature projects like our All My Relations Arts Gallery, which is a hub of contemporary Native arts, not just in Minneapolis, but really around the state and region. We have our Make Voting a Tradition, which is a political engagement, political organizing, and voter education effort that's been going on for about 8-9 years now and really successful. That's going statewide. We're engaged really in national conversations, not just in the urban Indian communities, but now working out in the reservation communities as well. And another is our Four Sisters Farmers Market, which just happened today. It gives Native entrepreneurs, women entrepreneurs are women, and a majority are Native, and gives access to healthy food, organic food, right into the heart of the Native community here. And we're just launching our Four Sisters Urban Farm, a partnership with Hennepin County, the big county here that Minneapolis is in. And so really working toward that, emphasizing that food sovereignty, food access, and organic food production. But we do a ton of other stuff as well. We're kind of in the center of things, you know, in sort of concentric circles. And sometimes we're the lead, but more often than not, we're a supporting partner.
That's great, Robert. Really, the work is unbelievable. It's really fantastic. And it touches so many different things. It's just not, you know, it's food, it's art, it's everything.
Culture.
So I really... Yeah, it's fantastic. I love it. Really, I do. So if anybody's watching us on Facebook, Robert, you look like you're sitting outside. It's a really, really hot day today, but we've had so much wind. And I was grateful for the wind because I was outside finishing up my project here, with my, prairie, garden. So I was welcoming the wind to keep cool. So.
Oh, I saw the pictures on Facebook, Wendy. Those are beautiful. Cool. Very congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited about it. I can't shut up about it. I just feel like my lawn was just a concrete jungle, and now it's going to be a beautiful habitat and ecosystem. And I'm sitting here right now, and I can see the front yard, and I see tons of birds out there. And honestly, I think they're like the birds who live in the neighborhood, and they're like, "Whoa, what's up? You know, what's going on? This is really nice." So anyway,
I love it. Yeah. I've never been a big turf guy, a big grass lawn guy. You know, I figure if it's green and it grows, it's the lawn. Mm-hmm. So I really applaud your efforts there. That looks beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
So and I love sitting out here because I have a couple of hummingbird feeders and some pollinators right over here. So I get to sit and watch the hummingbirds come and go and, you know, in the street life, which is always interesting. It is very windy, so if the sound gets too weird, just let me know and I'll move back inside.
Yeah.
You know, Robert, I just wanted to quickly jump in there. Last weekend, What did we do? We went to the Mendota Miwokatan Powwow over there on Fort Snelling. Yeah. And I want to give a shout out to that community, of course. Wonderful and very neighborhood-driven powwow. It was very local. A lot of non-native people there be able to dance and celebrate with us. That was fantastic. But after that, my little boy, he's 12, and he's like, I want to get a hot chocolate. I'm like, it's literally 80 degrees. What's going on with you? But so I made it an opportunity to visit Franklin Avenue, which I haven't done in a couple years. And I got to tell you, I stopped by your, what is it, Powwow Grounds coffee shop.
Powwow Grounds.
And I went in there and saw your office, and man, it was just fantastic. It's amazing. You and, of course, Native American Community Clinic is not across the street. You got the dollar store, of course. But then you have all these, you know, the Native art store. It's such an amazing community that has been cultivated there. And Robert, I want to, first of all, thank you and your organization for, you know, being a part of that community, establishing that indigenous center back. And I always think to myself, you know, my son got a hot chocolate there, and he saw the Native art, and it was just like, man, when I was 11, I would have loved a place like this. And it's just so amazing to see that open up like that. Also, I stole a couple masks off your table there, so forgive me.
That's all right. Thanks for the confession. Thanks for the kind words, Louis. Miigwech, really. And, you know, we call that the American Indian Culture Corridor. You know, it's where AIM started. Just when you were in my office, within a half a mile radius, there are some 40 Native organizations located. So it really is this kind of unique hub, a corridor of Minneapolis, you know, a center where that is definitely Native. And as Wendy said at the top of this segment, you know, with Little Earth so close by, Little Earth of United Tribes, it is the densest Native population, the densest census tracts. Feel that there, right? And so trying to leverage that into this destination, that's a cultural destination, an economic engine, not just for our community, but for visitors to Minneapolis. And so thanks. Thanks for that affirmation. I love working there. I couldn't imagine working anywhere else.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I just wanted to follow up is, you know, when we think about opportunities to indigenize our community and opportunities to authentically celebrate, have platforms for art and our expression of our artistry, I think NACTI, your organization, does such a good job doing that. And I'm wondering if you could talk about, over the years of artists that you've supported, you know, right next to you is that installation, right? It's that that room, and you can see all kinds of art there. Over the years, what has really touched you the most about the art that you guys have been able to get involved with?
Yeah, Louis, thanks. And did you get to see the exhibition?
It was closed.
Okay.
I could have walked in, turned the lights off, but you know, that would have been too much.
Right. So. You have to turn the whole thing on. It's very high tech. It's Rosie Seamus, a Seneca local artist, choreographer, and it's her piece, and it's very electronic. It's sort of a place to reflect, almost to grieve. It's really intense and beautiful. But yeah, so thanks. That room is our All My Relations Arts Gallery. And what really strikes me about its history, we just had a 20-year retrospective last year. It was the 20th anniversary of that gallery. NACTI has been operating it for 10 years. You know, before that, it had a location just up the block in the Ancient Traders Market. And then before that, for several years, it was a sort of pop-up. And about 10 years ago, it was at risk of going dark and closing down for good. And NACTI, I was chair of the NACTI board back then, and we were approached with the idea of taking ownership of the gallery and its assets. And we were just about to buy and remodel this building. And so the stars really aligned. And so we were able to open that gallery, create a destination on the American Indian Cultural Corridor, but really live our mission about building capacity. And you talk about all the artists that have gone through there, Louis. There are internationally famous artists that have started at All My Relations Arts Gallery, one of them being Deonnie Whitehawk, who is internationally famous and collected. I mean, a top-tier artist. She got her start as the gallery director. Right now we have Angela Two Stars, who is a premier public artist here in the Twin Cities. And in October, her piece at the Walker Sculpture Garden will be dedicated and opened. And that'll make her internationally famous. And we have all these people who are former gallery assistants. Marlena Miles, a Dakota artist who's just taking off like crazy, worked there. I mean, what's really impressed me as much of the art as the art is the people that have come there. NACTI's all about building capacity and professional development as well. So to see that success. And then the other thing, and I'm kind of an artist, but to really hear these, we always have talks, artist talks, discussions, a lot of community events. Next Tuesday will be the closing reception at All My Relations for the current show. So I'd encourage folks to stop on down for that. There'll be, again, some artist talks and things. But to hear this very informed conversation about what is my contemporary Native art. And oftentimes the Native artists will really connect it back to traditional Native art, you know, and we're always pushing against, you know, the kind of the dominant culture about in our communities. We don't separate art, culture, you know, these are all part of our everyday life. And so it's such a beautiful expression of that. And these contemporary Native artists who work in radically different media from our ancestors really connect what they're doing today, what we call contemporary art, back to the traditional arts.
That's fantastic. I love it. And is the art for sale or is it just for display only?
Isn't. So the current show is kind of an immersive experience. So that's, there aren't really pieces of it. But generally they'll be posted, you know, the price if something's for sale, and NACTI facilitates the sale, but we don't take a percentage or anything. We're just there to support the artists.
That's fantastic. I love to hear about that. Robert, do you have time to stay with us for another segment after this break?
Yeah, happy to. Thanks for asking.
Fantastic. All right, we're going to take a short break. Stay with us. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Stronghearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Stronghearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
We are Alusa Nation.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host today, Wendy Pilot, also known as Hanaji Hihani. I'm sitting in for Robert, but he'll be back tomorrow. We are here with Robert Lilligren. Robert is the executive director at the Native American Community Development Institute. also known as NACTI, and that is a mouthful. I guess that's why they call it NACTI. And we were talking
even when Robert's not here, it's we can't escape Roberts, right? Wendy, there's always going to be a Robert here.
There's so many.
All Robert
Blake,
environment.
Robert Blake. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
I know. We have to get some guests with different names, I guess. But yeah, so Robert, thank you so much for being here. As always, we always appreciate you coming in on Thursday to spend time with us. So, you know, I was curious, and I don't know if you could answer this question or not. Does NACTI do any work around like COVID or giving information about vaccines or anything like that? Do you have any work with that kind of capacity at all?
Yeah, thanks for asking. You know, we're not a direct service provider, but we have been in the COVID realm. And, you know, you had to be, right, in this last year.
Absolutely, yeah.
In a couple of ways. And so right away, early on in COVID, you know, so many of our partners are entrepreneurs and like our farmers, our vendors, and especially our artists, their income opportunities just disappeared, right? Artists couldn't travel to festivals to sell. They couldn't take speaking engagements or exhibition engagements. And so we rapidly redirected a lot of our arts funding to get money into artists' pockets. And so we did it in a number of different ways. One was a super cool mask project that we did early on where we had, maybe a dozen artists that answered the call. They did two things. One is they created beautiful art masks, which are stunning. We've offered some of those for sale and also are saving some to help as fundraisers for other organizations. And then those same artists sold, I think they each had to sew 50 masks or something. And if you remember early on, it was hard to get masks. And so they created 500 masks that we were able to distribute. Another thing we did with our art gallery after George Floyd was murdered in the civil unrest and people lost food access right here in the community, you know. So we cleared the art out of our gallery. I actually stored it right here in my house. And we turned the gallery into a pop-up food pantry, and food, household goods. It was like a grocery store in there. And we had to quickly, rapidly figure out systems for distributing that and things. So we helped get folks fed and supplies. And then the other thing that was in that realm is we were part of a group of urban Indian orgs from around the state, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Duluth, and Bemidji, who worked on culturally specific messaging around mask wearing. Now we're doing vaccine encouragement and things, but really culturally specific. And that was a cool project. It was actually funded by the Minnesota Department of Health. We have a community member and ally on the inside that helped shape this. And it was really the first time in my experience that those, you know, larger urban Indian communities, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Duluth, and Bemidji, worked together on a project. So kind of laying groundwork for future partnerships.
Wow, that's unbelievable. I love that. You know, when we were, Lewis, when we were over at the powwow, we stopped over at a booth and a young Native woman who we know said, you know, I was listening to your show and because of your show and the people on there talking about the importance of getting vaccinated and the importance of keeping family, you know, and elders and aunties safe. I went ahead and I got my vaccine, and I nearly wanted to cry when I heard that. So, you know, the work that you're doing is so important around that, right? You know, even selling masks, it gives people the, you know, the idea that we need to keep people safe. So I love that, Robert.
Yeah, thanks. And we were given masks. Oh, the art masks we were selling. Yeah.
Yeah, the art masks. Yeah.
Yeah, we were just given those away. It's the family. We took a real, like, we're doing a lot of our work, sort of a generational approach. Often it's the younger people, you know, educating the elders, encouraging the elders. That's how we approach our voter education, too, in a generational capacity. Get young people to get their elders to vote. And then statistics show that if a young person votes when they're 18, they're statistically so much more likely to vote throughout their whole lives. So just getting people into that ballot booth for the first time.
That's great. I love that. And that's so important.
I know, Robert, you wanted to talk a little bit about some exciting events happening next week, so I want to give you that space.
going on. We have early voting starting here tomorrow in the city of Minneapolis. To just remind my Minneapolis relatives to vote. And then just on that cultural corridor and in the community, there is something happening every day, pretty much. And we have the closing reception of our show at the gallery on Tuesday night. You can go to the All My Relations Arts Facebook page or website. And then there's some big community events. On Friday, there is a march to honor our boarding school victims and relatives. And so that'll be a big community march that starts at Minnesota Indian Men's Resource Center, goes through the community, a big feast afterward. Then on Thursday at our Four Sisters Farmers Market, which is right there where our building is, Lewis, where you were, in the parking lot, there's a couple of big deal things, including demo by, but it'll be a food demo and a cookbook release, the Goodberry Cookbook, which is a cookbook that is about harvesting and preparing wild rice, other wild foods. That's right at our building on 15th and Franklin from 10 to 3 next Thursday. And I'm trying to look really quickly. I had a little... Oh, and then on Tuesday as well, earlier in the day, at Little Earth of United Tribes in South Minneapolis, in their urban farm, we're having two things. One is a pickle-off, we're calling it. It's a contest of pickled goods there in the farm. And we'll have some kind of both high-profile people from the community, but also outside the community as well, including a long-term Minneapolis City Council member named Lisa Goodman. And so that's going to be kind of also have a political kind of angle to it, because we'll have the candidates for Minneapolis City Council for that area, for that ward, that'll be there as well. I think all 8 or 9 of them will be there. And we're going to have lots of direct interaction, almost like supported and curated interaction between the community and these candidates, you know, so that community members can ask their questions, make their concerns known, but also build relationships. One of these people will be our next city council member. So they'll have so once that person is elected, we can have access to them and help hold them accountable to our community. So Wow. There's just a lot going on.
A lot going on. Oh my gosh. Every day. That's fantastic. And people are getting involved, and that's what it's all about. And I just want to.
Yeah. One other thing I wanted to mention is there's a back to school powwow in North Minneapolis as well. So if you just go to Minneapolis Public Schools, the back to school powwow. So again, Okay. Every day there's multiple things happening.
That's fantastic. I love it. And I forgot to do this portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Oh.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh. Oh.
Oh. Robert, we have about a minute left. Do you have any last thoughts or things that you want to just share with people?
You know, thanks. I would just say lift up that, again, in Minneapolis, it's a big deal. It's a municipal election. There are some ballot initiatives, referendum, that are big structural parts of the city of Minneapolis, including policing and public safety, the position of the mayor within government, every city councilor, and the mayor is up for re-election. So voting starts tomorrow. Election day is November 2nd. Please get out and vote. Reach out to NACD. Make voting a tradition. If you need help, we're happy to help you. But you got to vote.
Thank you so much, Robert. You were listening to Robert Lilligren, and Robert is the executive director of the Native American Community Development Institute. Thank you so much for being with us, Robert. Yeah, we really appreciate it. Until next week. If you've been listening to this show, you are the resistance. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Robert will be here tomorrow. That's Robert Pilot. And we'll be back tomorrow. See you later. Bye.